This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news that will be followed by panorama and then our future of development and the economy. Today we shall close with a gospel reflection by Father Enobong Udiaidong. My name is Kanyan Tagodfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Friday marked 34 days in hospital as the Vatican and the faithful throughout the world continue to pray for his full recovery. The Holy See press office has kept the church and the world at large abreast with the developments surrounding the health condition of the Holy Father. Doctors have recently said that the condition of Pope Francis continues to improve and he is no longer using non-invasive mechanical ventilation. The latest Holy See press office statement also said that the Holy Father has also reduced his use of high-flow oxygen therapy. This is in spite of the fact that the infections in his lung are still present, but they are under control. The latest medical bulletin on the Pope's health announced that due to the Holy Father's stable health situation, the next medical bulletin will be issued sometime next week. It said further that the Vatican will provide information on the Pope to journalists on Friday, March 21st and on Monday, March 24th. Meantime, the African ambassadors accredited to the Holy See on Thursday celebrated Mass for Pope Francis. The intention of the Mass was to express their solidarity with the ailing Pope. The Mass was celebrated by the Chancellor of the Pontifical Academy of Science, Ghanaian-born Cardinal Peter Kodwo Appiah-Texon, who in his homily reflected on the gospel reading of the day and emphasized the importance of this gesture, which he said was a special prayer for the Pope, who is also going through a test in his life.
Jeremiah invites us to live a life with God at the center, a God-centered life. And that is the life that brings success. And so at the end, Jeremiah says that God searches the heart of every person and knows what is in the heart of everybody and puts everybody to test. God who puts everybody to test. And so I say that is the situation with a rich man. In the case of the rich man, poor Lazarus was his test. And he failed the test in not recognizing in Lazarus God's presence in the poor. Especially when, before Abraham, he says, Father Abraham, how can a son be so dissimilar to his father? How could a rich man not imitate his father Abraham? And Abraham calls him my son. So they related. And if the poor man is now with Abraham, how could a rich man not recognize the poor man as a brother? So the poor man was a test for the rich man, a test which the rich man failed. And so, going from that test, I say, we find ourselves before several tests in life. And gathered this morning here to pray for the Pope, we pray not only for his healing, but we pray also for the fact that he is also undergoing a test, the test of sickness. And we know how very many people in sickness lose faith or whatever. So for Pope Francis also, the situation of sickness is a test. A test which invites him to put his faith and trust always in God.
One of the ambassadors present at the Mass was His Excellency Raul Domingos from Mozambique, who expressed his gratitude for being accorded a chance as African ambassadors to also pray for the full recovery of the Holy Father.
I have a very good impression. I think that it was a very good and important initiative of the African group of ambassadors to pray for the health of His Holiness the Pope Francisco, because we believe that when we pray, we are speaking with the God, and God always listens our prayers.
The members of the Pontifical Papal Household on Friday had their first Lenten preaching entitled Learning to Receive the Logic of Baptism. The preacher of the Papal Household, Capuchin Franciscan Father Roberto Pasolini, delivered the Friday morning Lenten meditations under the theme Anchored in Christ, Rooted and Founded in the Hope of New Life. The event started at around 9 hours in the Paul VI Hall. The next Lenten sermons will take place on Friday 28th March, Friday 4th April, and Friday 11th April. The Pontifical Foundation Scholars Occurrentes has just held its first assembly, at which it confirmed the continued leadership of directors Jose Maria del Corral and Enrique Palmeo. In a press release on Thursday, the foundation described the assembly as a milestone in the institutionalization of the movement as it seeks to promote Pope Francis' mission to create a culture of encounter through education. The Pontifical Foundation dates back to the days of then Archbishop Jorge Mario Bergoglio in Buenos Aires. It started as a project in the Argentine city to bring together students from public and private schools, regardless of religious background, to work for the common good. In 2013, the organization became a Pontifical Foundation and now partners with nearly 450,000 schools and educational institutions worldwide. In 2022, scholars participated in the Group of 20 Summit in Bali, where it presented its educational model to global leaders. Pope Francis has on several occasions throughout his pontificate met with scholars in the Vatican and throughout the world. Even during the Pope's apostolic journey to Asia and Oceania in September 2024, Indonesian students welcomed him to the Grand Pemuda Youth House in Jakarta, where he visited the first scholars community in Southeast Asia. The church in Zambia on Sunday joined the Diocese of Monze in celebrating 120 years of Chikuni mission in the south of the country. The milestone was dubbed as a legacy of faith, education and community. The mission was established by the French Jesuits led by Father Joseph Moreau and is one of Zambia's oldest. The Bishop of Monze, Raphael Mwempwa, led the faithful in the commemorative events and celebrated Holy Mass. The highlight of the festivities that took place at St. Canisius Secondary School was the launching of a 5-year program of activities that will culminate in the 125th anniversary celebrations of one of Zambia's first successful Catholic missions led by the Jesuits. In his remarks, Bishop Raphael Mwempwa reminded the faithful about the fact that the church in Monze Diocese was embarking on a journey to commemorate our 125-year history. We honor the sacrifices, dedication, and faith of our founding fathers and mothers, he said, adding that they planted the seed of faith, which has flourished into a vibrant Christian community, bringing progress in education, healthcare, family-based initiatives, and the preservation of culture. Bishop Mwempwa went on to say that the commitment of these pioneers to evangelization, despite the challenges of their time, continue to inspire us today. Zambia's Republican President, Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, was the guest of honor at the grand and colorful 120th Chikuni Mission anniversary event. He was accompanied by national and local government officials, traditional leaders, and various church leaders. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Namibia's first woman president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, was sworn in on Friday after she won elections last year that extended the ruling party's 35-year grip on power. The inauguration ceremony in the capital, Windhoek, was attended by dignitaries, including 7 incumbent and 9 former African presidents. In her inaugural speech after being sworn in, the 72-year-old pledged to boost investments in the agricultural sector and diversify the resource-focused economy in an attempt to address high unemployment rates. Nandi Ndaitwa previously served as vice president for a year in the country of 3 million people. She is a veteran of the Southwest Africa People's Organization, or SWAPO, that led the country to independence from apartheid South Africa in 1990. Namibia has seen relatively strong economic growth in recent years, primarily due to investments in oil, gas, and green hydrogen. Lawmakers in Nigeria approved on Thursday President Bola Tinubu's state of emergency measures and suspension of an opposition governor in oil-producing Rivers State in the Niger Delta region. Mr. Tinubu announced the measures that will last for 6 months on Tuesday, saying they were aimed at halting vandalism of pipelines. Some opposition parliamentarians had threatened to block the emergency measures, but in the end, both the Upper Senate and the House of Representatives gave their support. There is an ongoing political crisis in the region, pitting factions of the opposition People's Democratic Party against each other and threatening to disrupt oil production. Police are investigating the cause of a recent explosion in Rivers State that shut the Trans-Niger Pipeline, a major pipeline transporting crude oil from onshore oil fields to the Boni Export Terminal. The UN Migration Agency said on Friday that last year was the deadliest year on record for migrants, with nearly 9,000 people confirmed to have died on perilous routes that include crossing the Sahara Desert or the Mediterranean Sea. The International Organization for Migration said the Asian routes were the most deadly, followed by the Mediterranean crossing and Africa, which includes the Sahara. IMO's Director General for Operations, Ugochi Daniel, said in a statement that the increase in deaths across so many regions in the world shows we need an international holistic response that can prevent further tragic loss of life. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Development and the Economy. Welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. The Vatican is holding a press conference to look at the risks and opportunities of artificial intelligence for children. Some of the risks include artificial intelligence being used to generate and distribute child sexual abuse material, groom children online, facilitate human trafficking, and infringe on a child's right to privacy and dignity with excessive monitoring. The objective of the conference is to come up with a common commitment for safeguarding. The organizers of the event say that the church has a special role in the fight against artificial intelligence-generated exploitation. Jesuit Father Hans Zona is the director of the Institute of Anthropology at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome and is one of the guest speakers at that conference that is currently underway. Zona says it is important to talk about the risk factors about the artificial intelligence, especially for children and other vulnerable groups.
We have co-organized this conference from our Institute of Anthropology of the Pontifical Gregorian University together with the Pontifical Academy for Sciences and the Childhood Foundation of Queen Silvia from Sweden. Why? Because it is important that we talk about the opportunities and the risk factors around artificial intelligence, especially for children and other vulnerable groups. We all participate in the digital world. We profit. We find many advantages in many services that probably we would miss a lot if we didn't have digital access and artificial intelligence and its tools, but there are huge risks connected to this tool and to all the possibilities connected to artificial intelligence. Among others, surely are the dangers connected to facilitating cyber mobbing, cyber extortion, or exposure to harmful content like pornography and extremist positions when it comes to politics, terrorism, and so forth. The danger of manipulation by deep fakes is well known by now, and children and other vulnerable persons may not have the instruments and the personal experience and reflection capacity to really detect when some images are not real or purposefully manipulated to convey a message that is deeply harmful and misleading. So there are many dangers. There are surely also opportunities and chances, especially in the area of education, when it comes to tailoring content to a personalized level for students. There is also the possibility to make use of artificial intelligence in an intelligent and protective way. You can invest in this, and you can make use of artificial intelligence instruments to in the best interest of children, but you need to know how to do that, and you also need to want this. And this is what we call on also by this conference, that policymakers, law enforcement, and all those who take responsibility also in the educational field, including parents, do whatever can be done so that children grow up in a safe environment, including a very important safe environment challenge that concerns the digital world, that for many of young people today is at least as important as the contact in the real, if you wish, analog world. So there are risks and opportunities, and we need to help children also in schools, also in families, to detect when they are about to enter into a dangerous slope that leads to, for example, grooming, trusting somebody they don't know and who may pretend to be somebody else with the aim to abuse those who then get trapped in a relationship that is not really helpful and in some instances really harmful. Recently, I came across the case that a boy had fallen in love, a 14-year-old boy had fallen in love with a chatbot who then told him, so the machine, so to say, told him that he needed to commit suicide to be always with this chatbot. And he committed suicide. He killed himself. So, I mean, how can we prevent such tragedies, and therefore we need to work together from different sectors, and the Catholic Church has an important role to play in bringing together people in Rome, in using its convening power, and our institute is also engaged in connecting different sectors of research and different disciplines in research, so that we can contribute from many sides, as many sides as possible, to a more protective environment and a protected one, a safer world, not a completely safe one, which will never exist as long as human beings are around, but at least one in which we limit the chances of harm, and we help young people to grow up in a more protected and in a more responsible environment.
Director of the Institute of Anthropology at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome, Jesuit Father Hans Zollner, speaking to Vatican Radio about the Vatican-organized conference on artificial intelligence and defending the importance of talking about the risk factors about the artificial intelligence, especially for children and other vulnerable groups. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
We have been continually reminded in this Lenten season to be fervent in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. There is yet another important aspect of this season, which is the call to conversion. This season will not be complete without the most important goal of these observances. The call to conversion will not cease until the mission of Christ and His Church is achieved in the life of all who profess faith in Christ Jesus. The readings of this Sunday invite us to take heed of the signs and the warnings from God and so avail ourselves of this moment of mercy. In the first reading taken from the book of Exodus chapter 3, Moses, after he ran away from Egypt, was in the service of Jethro, the priest of Midian. While keeping his flock, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There he saw an unusual sign. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Moses never knew what it was, and so he approached to see the sign. God called to him out of the burning bush. He responded, "Here am I." From there, he got his mission to go and bring the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. We may be perplexed to think that God was sending him back to his death. Ordinarily, as a fugitive, it was not the best option for Moses to go back to Egypt, but he accepted the mission because it was "I am who I am" that sent him. We may be wondering why God had to invite a murderer like Moses to be his instrument of deliverance for the Israelites. This is a clear lesson that the history of our sins does not count in the presence of the mercy of God, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in mercy. We cannot think of anyone who will claim to be righteous before God. Every one of us struggled under the yoke of sin. But the grace and mercy of God is sufficient for us all. It takes a humble person to realize that he or she has gone astray and then decide to return to God. God does not desire the death of a sinner, but wants to see us renounce sin and embrace his mercy and love. Every day is a sign from God, a gift to be cherished. Because like Jesus says in the Gospel reading according to Luke chapter 13, the Galileans who perished in the hands of Pilate and the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed were not worse sinners. Therefore, every opportunity we have is a moment of conversion, a moment to make amends with God and with one another. Like the victory mentioned in the Gospel, our worth is in bearing good fruits, fruits that are the product of our conversion. We are beginning the third week of Lent. What will we show as a sign of a fruitful Lenten observance? When we look at the many things happening in our society today, we know we need more than just to pray and fast. We have to effectively take the bold step to make the necessary contribution that will bring that deliverance needed in our society. Moses was afraid that the people will not receive him, but he accepted God's invitation to be his ambassador before Pharaoh. God's invitation is that we turn away from evil and do good. We too must not be afraid to accept God's invitation. We all have a concrete role to play in the fruitfulness of the prayers and the fasting we have done and we are still doing. Every good in the society can only be possible if we decide to cooperate with the grace of God and so pleased God with our lives. Let us not forget that God's mercy is in abundance and He is not interested in our past, but wants to make the best of present if we respond to him in affirmation. We pray for the grace to be God's instrument of blessings and peace in our society. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.